Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program. Now today I'm going to be preaching from the book of John chapter 6. And this is the second message in a series that I'm preaching on this subject, the eternal security of the saved, the eternal security of a true believer. The fact that if one is saved by the grace of God, truly saved now, that person who is saved by the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ can never be lost again. And I dealt with this last week, the first message, but I know what people say and how they object to this. You know, people say, well, you're just talking about once saved, always saved, and all of that. And you may want to use that term if you want. That's fine. You know, one person told me one time, he said, well, it depends on who saves you. And that's true. But there's only one salvation from the one true and living God. But you see, the thing about it is, the objections that people raise to this truth of eternal security are not founded upon the truth of the Bible. And that's what I want you to do. I want you to follow along in the Scriptures. Today's message is entitled, Jesus Christ Shall Lose No One. Jesus Christ shall lose no one. And I'll begin here in verse 37 just in a moment. But of course, the biggest objection to the eternal security of the saved is, well, that just gives people a license to sin. It makes them throw caution to the wind and say, well, if I'm always saved, then I don't have to do anything in the way of obedience and all that. I dealt with some of that in the last message, and I'll continue to deal with that, but that's not true. That's not what the doctrine, the truth, the gospel truth of eternal security teaches. And that's not what the experience of a sinner being secure in Christ is. Because the Holy Spirit of God coming forth from Christ gives those who are eternally secure in Christ a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit. And we're going to look at that. But let's go to John chapter 6 concerning this subject, Jesus Christ shall lose no one. And it says here in John 6:37 rather, and the Lord here, He's talking about Himself as the bread of life. And that's significant. Back up in verse 31 of John 6, He said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. In verse 32 of John 6, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Now we know when He says the world there, He's not talking about everybody without exception. Somebody said, well, He gives it to you, but you have to take it. Now listen, that's not what this Scripture's teaching. He's talking about the fact that God has a people out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. And this bread, which He's talking about Himself, is their life. And look at verse 33. He says, then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But verse 36, but I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. In other words, they've seen Him and they don't believe. Verse 37, now, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, did you hear that? Now, first of all, understand this issue of the bread. Bread in the Scripture represents the sustenance of life. The bread that they baked back then was different from bread we get today. They could live off of this bread. It had all the nutrients and all that you need. But bread represents the sustenance of life. The Bible talks about Christ as the water of life. He's the water of life. Remember, he told the woman at the well over in John 4, he said, those who drink of this water, which means to believe on him, they'll have a well of waters bubbling up within them. In other words, they'll never be thirsty. And then he speaks here of the bread of life. He shows how the manna that fell in the desert that was given by God to the children of Israel was a type, a picture of Christ, the bread of life. He is life itself. He sustains life. If he gives you life, he sustains it. Now somebody says, well, you've got to keep feeding on him. Well, sure you do. But you will if you have life. You're not alive one day and then dead the next and then become alive again. So Christ is the sustenance. Over in the book of Matthew chapter 5, when he was pronouncing what we call the Beatitudes, one of them says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You see, when God the Holy Spirit brings a sinner to see his sinfulness, his spiritual poverty, his deadness, he gives him a hunger. The Spirit gives us a hunger, a spiritual hunger for life that we can only find in Christ, a spiritual thirst for water that we can only, spiritual water that we can only find in Christ. In other words, if the Holy Spirit has done his work of conviction, the only way that you're going to be filled, the only way your thirst is going to be quenched is by coming to Christ for righteousness. And what Christ says here is this. He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. In other words, everyone whom the Father gave him shall come to him. And he says, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, who are these that the Father gave him? Who's he talking about? Well, we could go to several passages of Scripture, but the Bible speaks of the everlasting covenant of grace where before time ever began, before this world was ever created, God the Father chose a people and gave them to Jesus Christ. And listen, I'm not telling you that we are capable in our puny, finite minds of grasping all of the majestic, wonderful, eternal purposes and mind of God. We're not. But don't go the way of most people in religion today and deny it. God gave Christ. He chose a people. The Scripture teaches that. You may not like to hear that, but he did. You say, well, why did he choose me or why did he choose that one? That's not even answered. The only answer that the Bible gives is in Matthew 11, where Christ said, for so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. But he gave him to Christ. And that means this. That means he put all of the responsibility of their whole salvation upon Jesus Christ, who came in time, took their place on the cross of Calvary, and died for their sins. He's called the surety of his people. Over in the book of John 17, look at that with me. Listen to the high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ in John 17. It says, these words, verse 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Now listen to the glory that he's talking about, verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Christ has the power to give eternal life. And he says in verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And then here's the basis of it all. Verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He's speaking in anticipation of going to the cross and redeeming his people. Now, back in John chapter 6, as you look back on these passages, listen to it again, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And then he says, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now somebody, this is how we as sinful human beings reason and rationalize things. Somebody says, well, how do I know if I was one given to him? That's not your business. That's part of the secret things that belong to God. Your business, your responsibility is the revealed things. And here's what he says. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. What is your responsibility? My responsibility, come to Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Rest in Him. Receive Him. That's what you're to do. You have no excuse. You say, well, I can't do that because God didn't give me to Him. Oh, no. You don't know that, and you're not God. And let me tell you something. Anybody who uses the biblical doctrine of election or predestination as an excuse not to seek the Lord, as an excuse not to come to Christ, as an excuse to sin as much as they want, anybody who does that, they're trying to play God. You see, you're not God. I'm not God. We're just human beings groping around in the dark. We've got this light of the Scripture. He that believeth and is baptized, confesses that in believer's baptism, shall be saved. That doesn't make baptism salvation, but that's the confession. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then what the Scripture says? Now you call upon the name of the Lord. Now if you do, you can know all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. But let's go on. Look at verse 38 of John 6. He says, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. Now this is not saying that the will of Christ as the Son and the will of the Father are different or in opposition. In fact, it says the opposite. It says that the will of the Father and the Son are the same. But what he's saying is this, that this operation of salvation that secures the people of God by the grace of God into eternal life and glory through Jesus Christ is an operation of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three persons of the triune Godhead are involved here. And so he's simply saying, I'm not doing this on my own as an individual in his humanity. He said, I'm doing the will of him that sent me. This is the will of God. And he says in verse 39, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. That's the sovereign will of God. Now, preachers will tell you, they say, well, now that's what God wants to do, but He can't do it if you let Him. That's not what this says. In fact, and I'm going to deal with this as we go through these passages, and as I deal with different scriptures on this series of eternal security. But let me just give you something to think about and read about. Back in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32, And one of the passages, you look at Jeremiah chapter 32. I'm going to show you something here. And this is just one example. And later on in this series, I'm going to deal with John chapter 10, where the Lord Jesus Christ makes the statement. He says that His sheep hear His voice, and He knows them. And He said they cannot perish. He holds them in His hand, and He will not let them go. He and His Father will not let them go because He and His Father are one. And I've heard people say to me on that, there's a passage there where it says, and no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. And I had a friend who didn't believe in the eternal security of the saved. He said, well, see there, it doesn't say that the devil couldn't pluck them out of their hand. It says no man. Or that they could come out themselves. Well, I'm going to deal with that later on, but let me give you something to think about. Here in Jeremiah 32, beginning at verse 40, this is a prophecy of Jeremiah concerning the days of the new covenant, which began when Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried and rose again and ascended unto the Father. And it was inaugurated at Pentecost, and that's the new covenant. And what he's doing, he's contrasting this new covenant with the old covenant, which Israel was under and rebelled against. You see, Israel rebelled, and they didn't meet the conditions of the old covenant. It was a legal covenant conditioned on them. But the new covenant in Jesus Christ, of which Jesus Christ is surety, is an ever, listen, it's the fulfillment in time of the everlasting covenant of grace made before time. And all the ones who are members of that covenant, they shall be saved and they shall continue. And I've heard people say, well, Christ won't leave them or leave us, but we can leave Him. Well, listen to Jeremiah's prophecy concerning the nature of the everlasting covenant. In Jeremiah 32, and I said verse 40, but look at verse 37. He says, behold, I will gather them out of all countries, whither I have driven them in mine anger, and in my fury, and in great wrath, and I will bring them again into this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. Now, some people say, well, he's just talking about Israel and the land of Israel, but he's not. He's talking about spiritual Israel here, and he says in verse 38, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Now listen to verse 39. And I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever. That's believe in Him, worship Him, respect Him for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good. You see, God will not turn away from them, but look on. But I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. They shall not depart. That's what he says. That's the nature of the new covenant. You see, the old covenant was an imposition on the nation Israel, and it set them apart from other nations in various ways, but it did not, in and of itself, have the ability to justify them or to give them a new heart. It could force them in several ways by its laws and all of its prohibitions to be servants, but it could not give them a heart to believe. But under the new covenant, the everlasting covenant of grace, there is the provision not only of the ground of salvation in the blood of Jesus Christ, but also the fruit of salvation in the new birth, a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit. And this, back over here in John 6, this is what he's talking about. He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They're going to come to him. He says in verse 39, this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. You see, the nation Israel rejected God, and God rejected them. That was a legal, conditional covenant. That's not salvation. If salvation were according to that covenant, we'd all be lost, even you, even me. And that's that covenant. Somebody said, well, why did he give them that covenant? To show them the very fact that I'm talking to you about, that salvation cannot be conditioned on sinners in any way, at any stage, to any degree, or there'll be no salvation. That's why he gave it, to show them their sin. Moreover, the law entered, you see, for that reason, to expose their sinfulness, their depravity. What did the law show Israel? It's what Paul recorded in Romans chapter 3 and verse 9. The Scripture hath concluded, all under sin, both Jew and Gentile. And he says, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. And you could go on. The law showed them that it condemns every sinner who is without righteousness, and all sinners are without righteousness based on their works. It says, by deeds of law shall no flesh be justified in God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's why God gave it, to show them the impossibility of being saved or kept saved by their works. My friend, if I'm going to be saved, it's by the grace of God. If I'm going to be kept saved, it's by the grace of God. And if I'm going to enter heaven's glory, it's by the grace of God. It's all based on the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to me, which by the grace of God, I receive Him by faith. Look down at John 6 again, verse 40. He says, and this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, that's a term of faith, and believeth on Him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. He's not going to lose salvation. He's secure. Well, verse 41 says, then the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? And Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Now listen to these verses. Verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up again at the last day. Raise him up at the last day. No man can. That speaks of ability. That word can there means ability. Man by nature does not have the will and desire to come to God. And I've said it this way about when we talk about the doctrine of total depravity. What is the total depravity of man? Three things. Number one, man by nature does not have righteousness good enough to save him or to keep him or to bring him to glory. There's none righteous, no, not one. Secondly, man cannot make himself or work himself in a good enough way, we'll say it, to be righteous. We don't have one and we can't work one. The best of men cannot do it. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. You pick the best person you know who's ever lived on this earth. And I'm going to tell you something. Based on his works and his efforts and his sincerity and his will, he did not attain righteousness. And thirdly, this is total depravity. Man doesn't have a righteousness. Man cannot work righteousness. And here's total depravity now. Man does not want righteousness God's way. Man wants righteousness. But two things. His standard of righteousness is too low. And he wants it his own way. Because his own way exalts himself. Gives him room to glory or boast. He'll either boast in his works, or he'll boast in his will or his decision. But he'll boast in something other than Christ. You see, the Scripture says, he that glorieth, boast, let him glory in the Lord. So he says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me, draw him. Now how does the Father draw him? He brings that sinner under the preaching of the gospel and in the power of the Holy Spirit, convicts him of sin. I'm ruined. By nature, I fell in Adam, ruined by the fall. My only hope of salvation is to be redeemed by the blood. And in order to see that and believe it, I have to be regenerated by the Spirit. That's how God draws His people, by the power of the Spirit. And He said, I'll raise him up at the last day. That person is eternally secure. In verse 45, He said, it's written in the prophets, they shall be all taught of God. Everyone that God gave to Christ, who come to Him, who He will in no wise cast out, they'll be taught of God. How are they going to be taught of God? Verse 45, every man therefore that hath heard. Do you have ears to hear? Oh, I know you have physical ears. I know you can hear my voice. But you know, Stephen, he preached in Jerusalem, and they rejected Christ, whom Stephen preached. And you know what he said? You uncircumcised in heart and ears. You're not born again. You got ears, but you don't hear. You can hear my voice, but how do you react or respond to what I'm saying in the Word of God? That's who he's talking about here. That's how people are taught of God. They're given spiritual. Christ told the disciples, blessed are your ears for you that you hear. And hath learned of the Father. How do we learn of the Father? That's the gospel message of how God can be just and still justify the ungodly by His grace through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, freely imputed and received by God-given faith. You see, God is a loving Father. He's a merciful Father. He's a gracious Father. But He's also a righteous judge who must punish sin. How can He be both a righteous judge and be true to Himself in punishing sin and still be a loving, gracious, merciful Father? There's only one way, and that's based upon the blood of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of Christ. And if you hear that and learn that as taught by God through the Holy Spirit as He sent forth from Christ, you know what you'll do? He says, cometh unto me. You'll come to Christ. I guarantee it. And you'll stay with Christ. Oh, you won't leave Him. Oh, you may stray a little bit. We're going to talk about that later on. You struggle. You'll have a warfare. The warfare of the flesh and the spirit just beginning. But I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ shall lose no one. He's not going to lose any sinner whom God gave Him before the foundation of the world. He's not going to lose any sinner for whom He died. He's not going to lose any sinner whom He sends the Spirit to give new birth, to regenerate and convert. He's going to keep them. He's going to bring them through. He's going to raise them up at the last day. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.